Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. As a lot of people know out there, you bought a Nintendo Entertainment System preloaded with 30 games in there.
The original.
You have some classic games. Super Mario Brothers 1, Super Mario Brothers 2, Super Mario Brothers 3, where you can fly. I mean, it is fantastic to play those games.
Yes.
Tell the people your interest level in the 27 other games.
Very low. Very incredibly low. Like, could not be any lower. I tried playing some of the other games.
Yeah.
I tried playing
Double Dragon,
which not a good game.
Okay.
It's just not a good game.
You were playing one with a bike.
Excitebike,
like a motorcycle or something race.
Excitebike,
right?
has terrible controls. These are not good games. I played Kirby.
Oh, the ghost?
Yeah. Like, okay. The one that goes like, and then and inflates, and
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Kirby's not good. Zelda, I couldn't figure out.
Yeah, what's the point of Zelda? Don't know.
I don't even know if you can, like, throw things.
You were just like,
I was dodging whatever obstacles came in my way. Just
run away.
Don't understand it.
Run away from whatever the things are.
I can do Mario 1, 2, and 3.
Which is great.
And honestly, that's sort of like worth the cost of admission. Like,
I would agree.
Do that.
Yeah, it's way better than the other things are bad.
I'm not going to play Pac-Man.
No, Donkey Kong.
Not going to play Donkey Kong.
It doesn't have Tetris.
Bubble Bobble or whatever the fuck.
Oh, it has like Dr. Mario, which is like the budget version of Tetris, right?
Yeah, because it's
lame.
Like, yeah.
Lame.
Red pills and blue pills.
If anybody out there knows that there's a hack
to get rid of the other games and get some new ones?
To get some new games on here.
Well, yeah, but you need a PC for that.
A Windows computer?
We need a computer with Windows on it.
These are dire times, but we are not resorting.
If anybody out there has a Dell.
To a Dell.
If you can drop off a Dell.
A Gateway 2000.
And, like, scrub it down with lye and Lysol and whatever the fuck
a Lexmark.
Yeah.
No, we're not messing with any of those. Remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like a Gateway 2000.
I just said that. See, yeah. Was already there.
All right. A Compaq.
This is how this podcast goes. I talk. Jeff doesn't listen.
Has anybody talked about Gateway 2000? They used to have the boxes that had the cow print on them.
Jeff
before Doja Cat made cow print cool. Gateway 2000 was out here making, you know, doing the hard work. Gateway 2000 ran so that Doja Cat could fly.
Jeff was on the podcast today.
The podcast today is Currency.
The rapper Currency.
Yes,
yeah.
The one and only.
Yeah.
Ernest Wilkins from Chicago, who is a writer and music personality.
Blogger and newsletter writer. And he's just a great dude with a great head on his shoulders.
Which is to say, Foster Kamer.
Yes.
Also a great dude with a great head on his shoulders.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go in a different direction.
I was thinking about it, but I was like, no, like, Foster's a great friend. And
Foster, who is a great writer and editor over in Brooklyn.
Yep, futurism.com.
Also a underrated piano player. So this is a really fun episode. It goes in a lot of different directions. You guys will really enjoy it. Jeff, let's call Currency.
All right. I'm not going to say no.
Hello.
Spitter!
What's up, baby?
Yo, what's up? Yo, how you living down there?
I've got things going. I've got things going. I'm rolling a joint. I'm seeing my contractors off. I'm looking out the window watching them pull off. And I'm about to bleach everything that they may have touched while they were working.
Yo.
So maybe I'll postpone the joint rolling. And we do this while I tighten the crib up, and then I'll smoke a joint after. I can do it all.
I appreciate you budgeting your time so well, letting us fit in, postponing your joint.
Come on, bro. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. Now, this might be the first time we've ever worked without. Well, no. I think we've been a few places where I couldn't smoke.
Yeah.
So we've survived.
First of all,
I'm high enough already anyway.
I want to tell the people that we were there in New Orleans for your birthday maybe a year and a half ago. And
yep, it was on the roof.
It was on this rooftop, right? So
yep, that's true.
We flew down And we had talked to Musa, your partner, your manager, your guy. And he said, hey, and sent us the invitation right as we were about to fly out.
He said it was black tie black tie only.
Black tie only. So we're like...
Did he say that?
He said that.
Because I don't think I... Did I have on a black tie?
No. So he said that, and we're like, yo, we don't have tuxedos. We looked up every place in New Orleans that, you know, sold tuxedos or rented tuxedos or whatever. They were all closed by the time that we landed that night.
And so we packed suits and we were like, all right, we're gonna get there. We're gonna roll through.
I'm touched.
We showed up. We were like sweating. We're in suits. We're like looking at everybody. We're like, yo, like, you know, everybody's in like ties and everything.
Yeah, there was a guy like manning the elevator who was wearing a tuxedo and Jordans. And we're like, well, you know... We're not that guy, but like, you know, we're gonna look all right. We get to the roof and no one was dressed up.
Yeah, t-shirts. We look like your lawyer and your accountant.
Yo.
Yeah, because we were preparing for a car show, so a lot of us had just rolled over from the garage. Like everybody was just coming from the garage and just coming there to party a bit. I had a black crew neck sweatshirt.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Step it up. I tried to step it up. I had a black sweatshirt. And some of my best jewelry.
Yo, Spitta, this coronavirus thing apparently is not sitting and living on metal. So working on cars is totally fine.
Yeah, I'm okay out there. Yeah, I'm all right. And plus, all of my car wash soaps are antibacterial.
That's dope. Have you found have you found enough things to work on a daily basis on your cars?
Shit, yeah. It's never done. Especially the one you got with old cars, it's never done.
So you find leaks every day?
You can always do something. It's not leaks. It's just things that you can perfect. You can always shine the chrome up a bit more. Mm. Maybe you want to clean up your engine bay. Maybe today you just want to do wheels. Maybe today you just want to clean the trunk out. But when you got 30 cars... You know what I'm saying? You do 3 or 4 cars a day, and then the sun goes down. Humble flex. then the sun goes down. After the sun goes down, it's time for online gaming. I had been buying video games a lot because I never really lost that part of me, but I hadn't been playing them. I hadn't had time. You know what I'm saying?
Now you got the time.
But now I'm locked in. So like fucking Gran Turismo 5. I had that game for maybe a year or so, but I finally got to get into it. Call of Duty, fucking the World War II one. Like,
wait, do you have like the headset?
That came out a while ago, huh?
Do you have the headset?
I don't have a headset, but my homeboy was supposed to pull up on me and throw one to me from 6 feet away today.
Are you somebody who can like talk shit on Call of Duty? Like when you do get the headset, you're gonna be like arguing
I'm
with 16-year-olds?
I'm not that good yet to talk shit. And that's one of the reasons I don't really want I wasn't in a rush to get a headset because I don't want 12-year-olds, you know, telling me. Because at the end of the day I'm gonna be like, oh well, at least I win in real life.
Yeah. So,
because I played Grand Theft Auto once with a headset, and I got pissed like when dudes were ragging on the car that I had, and I'm like, bruh, I got a fucking race in real life, you fucking jackass.
And
like,
nobody believes you because they're just like literally anybody.
Yeah, and then the whole game room is like, oh yeah, right. I'm like, oh, now I'm fucking like about to FaceTime fucking 16-year-olds.
Yeah, prove yourself.
The driveway, be like, because I'm so mad about the fucking game, and I was like,
they think you're riding around the 94 Honda, and you're just like, fuck.
And that's when I was like, you know what, fuck these games, I'll just get back and keep rapping and going on the road. But now I got time. Like that kid said, now I got time, good.
A couple months ago, there was a video that you made where you were feeding your son, and you were singing the controllers. And,
And somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose. That's our dinner cut.
That shit was so fire and so genuine. Were you surprised at how wide it went?
Shit, yeah. Fucking like fucking Oprah posted that shit.
Yo.
What? Actually Oprah?
What? Fucking I don't even know the name of the thing. It's like her fucking shit. It came on there and it's me.
That's amazing.
And like Yeah, they're like rapper. And I'm like, oh shit, like, that's when you know.
Yeah.
You know they don't know you. Anybody else? They're like Bruno Mars or so and so. They're like, we need to make sure they know who you are. Like, currency. I'm like, oh man, well, thanks, you know. But it was cool.
How is your son doing?
He's cool, man. He's actually in the room. I had to shut the house down a bit while I had the folks were in here working.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't know who was next to who.
Yeah.
You know, so he's in the room with his mom. He's quarantined until I've bleached and Lysoled everything in the house now that people are done working.
That's super dope. So obviously, like, for us, we work from home. It's nothing for us to, like, you know, wake up and then go, like, do work in the house, right?
Yeah, I feel like
you spend a lot of time at home.
Nah, I'm on the road so much that I've prayed for a time that I could lock in and build model cars and Legos.
Wait, so this is your fault?
Honestly, I thought it was my fault because I bought the Rolls truck. I think because I started to do too much rap shit, there was like videos of me like being driven around and I got on like 19 chains and I'm taking pictures with all the Rolls Royces in front of the Jet Life store.
Are you trying to flex for us or for the 12-year-olds on Call of Duty right now?
No, this was for me. I was doing this for me. And then I think the world was just like, nah, bro, you know you don't act like that. So chill out for a minute. And I think the world just had to go on pause. That might be my fault. Too much flexing. Too much flexing, man. It's crazy because everybody else had like 19 Rolls Royces. The minute I get a multiple of something,
the world shuts down.
Now I can't drive around and shit.
What happens to your guys' car club while coronavirus goes on?
Everybody's still we're FaceTiming one another from the garage.
Do you still drive
drinking Hennessy? No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. I got a few of my buddies who are putting gloves on and going to the gas pump and cruising around in the Eldorados and shit, and I commend them because the streets are empty, so you actually can do more stunts. You can just drive like a maniac right now and probably not get pulled over, you know what I'm saying? So it's probably more fun for them. But I got my little man here and shit, so I ain't trying to do too much.
Wait, did you ever do any street racing?
Racing?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
No. Now, did I own the vehicles that were raced? That's a different thing. So I was involved in the I was involved in that, but I was not the one in the seat. I have zero seat time. That's what they call it.
Mm.
I have no seat time. No.
I just want to be clear. I know I look like a cop. I'm not a cop.
Yeah. These questions could come back. I see every time. I don't want to name drop, but I see every time people do an interview with a surfer, they end up in trouble.
Oh.
Shit happens.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, fuck, man. The traffic enforcement or something will be like, oh, yeah, we, that's you from It's the Real. So here's a real subpoena.
You know what I did love is that I think the last couple of days you've been bothering Alchemist on Twitter.
Yeah, bro, Alchemist is not even keeping it funky, but I realized what it's about.
What's that?
I texted him and I told him, I'm like, you know what, no sweat, because fucking the machine is about to drop.
Mm.
They got that project, so yeah. I'm like, you know what, man, the rollout is nice. They got a fucking nice jacket for it and all that shit. Not the album jacket, the actual
jacket.
Yeah, so when I saw that that's going on, I'm like, dude, I know what it's like when you're doing shit like that. Bug you. So we just gonna wait till we get them, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And so you and Freddie have already discussed all the sort of like bigger ideas. Now it's just you're waiting on Al?
Yeah, it's not even no ideas. Like with us, like he just hit me and was like, dude, you working in the drought? You know what I'm saying? I was like, shit, yeah, you know, I'm not worrying about fucking not working. I'm definitely gonna work through this shit. So I was like, we might as well just do the thing, you know?
Yeah. So.
Wait, what's
here we go. We trying to, because we don't want to get. I was like, what should we do beat wise? And I'm like, nah, clearly we gotta go with L. So we just waiting on him.
What's a TV show that your son watches over and over and over, or movie? I feel like I saw you watching like Paw Patrol or something.
Nah, I don't know. I'm pretty big on the stuff that I was into, so he's not tripping. He's like, he's only against so much, so he doesn't give a shit. If I'm watching Daria, I like watching Daria, and he's there like, yeah, this is the shit. He don't care. We really watch car shows.
Really?
He likes. I watch a lot of lowrider footage on YouTube and shit, and he likes that shit.
Yo, a lot of our listeners know that over the last like year, I've gotten heavy into like engine rebuild videos and heavy into like barn find videos and like full like when someone puts a pickup back on the street, like I actually feel like pride in that, even though like I have nothing to do with it. Are you like subscribed to any like YouTube channels out there where you're like watching the same type of content?
I'm not subscribed to many, but one that I'm definitely like on every day is We Gonna Ride TV, spelled like it sounds with Ebonics and slang. We Gonna Ride TV.
Again, I look like a cop. I'm not a cop. Just want to be clear.
Okay, and you'll see, you know, a lowrider go from the junkyard to the boat.
Are you checking in on your people like we all are right now, where it's like FaceTimes every day just to make sure everyone's doing good?
I have been after I got a text from y'all. After y'all hit me with the idea to do this, I was like, wait, am I being like a shit friend who's just sitting here assuming everybody's okay? You know what I'm saying? So then I started checking, and everybody answered the phone. Like, nobody came to the phone like, so fucking, it's all right. I'm looking around motherfuckers' eyes and shit.
Yeah. Well, do you go on Twitter, and when you see the trending topics and you see someone's name up there, do you think, like, right away that they got it?
Yes, that's what's happening now. And you know what I used to think? Because, I mean, we all have PTSD, you know, so whenever I see people pictures, I think, oh, shit, you know, somebody got shot.
Yeah.
But at least now, I think, oh, you got the coronavirus. Like, no big deal. You know what I'm saying? You'll be fine.
I hope so.
Fucking Slim Thug.
I saw that.
It. Yeah, that was crazy.
When Slim Thug said it, I was like, you know what? Maybe I had it already. Because fucking, I definitely saw that dude, like, with his mask in his gloves and being precautious and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know that, like, you know, fuck. That Styles
P said that too. Exactly. Styles, like, man, fucking everybody either fucking had it or is gonna get it. I saw something today on the news, and they were like, it's probably just, you know, it's gonna work its way through like chicken pox. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, just, but it's like it's scarier than chicken pox, only because like the fatality rate is just like so much higher.
Yeah,
I know, but you know what I think also, because we weren't ready. You know what I'm saying? That also just show motherfuckers, like, don't take vitamins and shit. Like, you know, that's what it also it exposes, you know what I'm saying? We got caught slipping. So more people are taking vitamin C now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What it should have just been, like, it's not new. They didn't just make that to prevent corona. That shit was in the store the whole time when you went to buy the fucking pack of Magnums. You could have fucking bought the vitamin C too. You know what I'm saying? You look out for yourself the whole way. Now it's fucking golden.
So is there an idea in your head now what touring will look like moving forward?
Touring?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, bro. I think that people will be ready to be back out, but people are going to be... Like, I know it's gonna affect my show, because as soon as I get off stage, I just walk right through the crowd and I'm fucking smoking everybody's joints.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like, well, nobody would come to my show with shitty weed.
Yep.
So that was always my thing. My only concern was that I would be passed like a joint that wasn't my quality. Not that somebody would even roll like reach me one with tobacco and weed. Like, that would kill me if that happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And people smoke those, but that was my only work hazard. Now it's like, ah, shit, I don't know if a motherfucker is just recovering from that. I don't know if I just never got it, and maybe it could still fuck with me. I don't know what I'm going to be thinking when it's time to get back out there. But
yeah.
I mean, I'm ready to go. I hope it doesn't affect it too much. You know, not too much, but I'm not in a rush to have the country back up and running by Easter.
Like, no, that shit's crazy.
Yeah, I'm terrified, and I love Easter. I love Easter. I love cruising around, you know what I'm saying? So if anybody wants this shit to be over, it's me. But just based on who's telling me that it's all good, I just, you know, at least, like, where's Dr. Drew?
You know?
Yo. Fucking Dr. Drew. If Dr. Drew says something, then, yeah.
Do you have any friends who have wild theories about what's going on right now?
Shit. I got a lot of conspiracy theorist buddies who told me, you know, that the vaccine is at Area 51. They already had the shit already. I came up with one myself. Because
what's that?
It's fucking Netflix, and I will say that it's predatory of them to have the show, have the movie Outbreak. Mm-hmm. On their programming list right now.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. So this was all viral marketing.
Yeah, for sure. And that's feeding the fire, because I saw that movie as a kid, but I watched it again, and then once I watched it, I'm like, oh shit, it's a weapon. Mm. I'm like, those motherfuckers fucking, like, were working on some fucking weapon, and it fucking got out of control. You know what I'm saying?
The only one that I've really seen is that people think that it's all to sell more medicine. And I was like, no, they're, like, doing fine without this. I feel like Big Pharma is okay.
Currency, have you watched Chernobyl on HBO?
No, did you watch Tiger King?
Yes. Yo.
I didn't. I just keep fucking hearing, man.
Oh, we're gonna get Lake, who works with DJ Drama, on, and apparently he bought a tiger for one of his artists from Tiger King.
He bought a monkey. He knows somebody who bought a tiger from him.
That series is
more crazy than you can even, like, consider at this point.
That's the only reason I didn't watch it yet, because it was a series. I thought it was a movie. I'm really better when it's one thing.
Oh, really? You're not gonna binge something?
If it's a documentary, just make it in one swoop, and then I'm good. You know, but this thing is a series, so we'll see. But I see people who I value their opinions on what's good entertainment. I see a few people talking about it. Chuck English.
Yeah. You
can't shut the fuck up about it on Twitter. And fucking Leah from Married to the Mob.
Yep.
Should I call her?
You should.
Leah from
Check
Married
in.
To the Mob, because she is the creator of it. So you don't call Bill Gates of Microsoft.
Oh.
It's like, it's Bill Gates.
I thought you meant, should you get, like, on the
I'm
phone
not,
and call her?
I'm, yeah. not, I'm not Currency of Jet Life. I'm me.
No, you're rapper Currency.
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, yeah. You leave it up to Oprah's writers.
Yo, Currency, we love you. Please take care down there. Stay safe.
Yeah,
stay indoors, and keep wrenching on those cars. And we'll be sure to check
all
in
good.
With you, all right?
Y'all do the same. Wash your hands to your elbows, 30 seconds. My rap lyrics will work fine for you while
you're
walking. I'm out. Y'all
all right.
Be good, man.
Take care, Spitta. Right. Peace.
Love.
Now, Jeff, let's call Ernest Wilkins.
Yeah. Where did this voice come from?
I don't know. I just kind of felt it in the moment.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yo, Ernest, what's happening?
What's up?
How are you holding up in these crazy days that we're living in?
Wait, even before that, I feel like no one is handling coronavirus, like the lockdown, better than Ernest.
Yeah.
Just based off of Instagram.
You guys are kind.
It's really refreshing.
Yeah, dude, like, it was a situation my wife and I were like, okay, well, we could sit here and go crazy refreshing the news every 3 minutes, or we could, you know, do something fun. And we have a lot of friends who have kids, and, like, it was a good way to kind of get everybody in our little circle involved, and it kind of took off from there.
So, for those who don't know, on Instagram, every day, take us through the process here.
Yeah, so last week we started this probably the day, like, I want to say last Friday-ish. But we have this concept called Lift Your Spirit Week. Check the hashtag on IG. It's a lot of fun. But my wife and I and a lot of our friends and people that we actually don't even know that well have started kind of following along with the day themes. And, like, the idea isn't an original one, but it's something where we put our own spin on it. You know, obviously, fun themes like March Madness, and we had one that was Magic Trick Tuesday, which it all sounds silly, but in the moment where people, I feel like, need some positivity, we tried to, you know, help our homies out. So it felt good.
Yeah, I mean, like, you've also, you had, like, crazy outfits. I do want to talk about the magic trick. Did you know magic before this?
Yeah, so that's the only, okay, so if you go to my IG, I do a magic trick, and it's the only magic trick I know how to do, and I learned it at this conference, actually, called Ord Camp. And so basically, you know, it takes a lot of determination and spirit and passion to really be master of the mystic arts like I am. But no, I'm just kidding. No, but like, all jokes aside, like, it was a silly trick. My wife watched YouTube to figure hers out, and so I would recommend, if anyone is, you know, you're running out of podcasts, obviously you should listen to every episode of this one.
Yeah,
but once you get done with that, go on YouTube and just look up magic tricks. Like, you'll mess around and be the new David Blaine out here.
Yo, one of our friends used to hook up with David Blaine and said that he's like a real creep.
You know what? I could see it. I could see it.
Yeah. Like, he would do magic tricks on her, and she was just like, we have to stop seeing each other. Like, this is too much.
So, Ernest, you set out to have something new every day to keep your spirits up, to keep your, like, your focus and your mental right. How far do you have these planned out?
So we laid out the entire week in advance. And, you know, that way we wanted to make sure people could participate in it. And plus, like, you never know when people are seeing something on the internet. So, you know, when we would post, we post the full calendar. So it's like, okay, maybe you missed Wednesdays, but you can jump on Thursday. So right now we're actually taking a little time off. We're going to take a week off, and then we're probably going to come back with it. But I invite everyone and anyone, once we come back, to join the fun. And it's so much better than being bummed out all day.
Yeah. Especially when, like, you guys have some of the best outfit pieces, like, loud clothes. Like, I've been looking in, like, my closet for, like, anything that could approach Wacky Wednesday, like, level, and I have nothing. Yeah. I don't have any, like, tiger stripes. I don't have any, like, animal prints, nothing. I was just like, fuck, like, I really need to step my game up, like, when we break out of this.
Yeah, man. I mean, I feel like every red-blooded American should have at least one animal print in the closet, because you never know. You might have to go to, like, you know, some sort of fancy ball, or maybe just like your buddy's house and you're wearing tiger striped pants. Who knows? But it's actually really funny, because there's plenty of bitches in here, because so I have a closet, and the closet is filled with all the sports gear I have. And so I just recently started selling that, which is kind of sick, but it's been kind of funny getting the responses, because this is all stuff that I'm just like, I have, you know, my wife has, that we wear. And some people are just like, wait, what? Especially here in Chicago, where it kind of isn't a city where people stand out as far as clothes is concerned. Like, and I don't even think we're on the crazy spectrum of it. I know homies who are like, it's all neon all the time.
So I'm just curious here. Obviously, like, there's a picture, and that goes up on Instagram, and that could be it. But in my mind, I'm hoping that you wear those outfits all day, and that, like, maybe the magic continues all day. So if you're, like, doing the dishes, boom, you know, they're clean.
Yeah.
The grease disappears, you know, all of that.
Yeah. The grease is in.
Do
no,
you, in
honestly,
fact?
Those are all clothes. That's my, like, what you're saying is what we actually wore that day. So I think the other piece of that is, you know, a lot of people have pivoted to the, you know, what do I wear when I'm working from home? And I've always been a proponent of, if you're going to be working from home, be comfortable, but also wear stuff that you couldn't wear if you were, like, a, you know, at a corporate job or something like that. So, like, if anybody sees, I had this old, I had this really old shirt from the 70s. It's like a basketball shirt. And it looks like Bill Walton, like, designed it himself on an acid trip. And so that shirt just brings me joy on some condo-ish. So it's like, all right, cool. Let me wear that with, you know, I want to show love to my beloved Florida State Seminoles. So I had the starter jacket that I've had forever. And, you know, just show some love. And it was super simple. Plus, like, it's a nice opportunity to get outside and take a picture, but also, like, just be outside for a little bit, all while practicing proper social distancing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Have you had any, definitely, like, panic buys, like, throughout all of this? Anything that you've, like, bought online that you were just like, oh, I'm locked inside. I need this thing.
Yes. Well, it's funny you should mention that because I was just like making myself feel bad about buying it. So I bought two things, panic, because I was like, you know, I'm sitting here. We don't know. So I just got into candles, right? Like I'm heavy candle, bougie candle guy now.
Oh, I thought you said Kangols, and I was like, yo.
No.
That would be a great panic right? buy. Yeah.
Just in case. No, but like candles. I bought just like a little votive set of candles for the house. The boy Modi, who is a fantastic human being,
yes,
just
shout out to Modi.
His own candle. You know, it's super sick. I like that one. But I bought that, and then I bought. So I'm super into wrestling, and if anyone knows me, they know this. But I found a shirt from the 80s or the early 90s with the Steiner Brothers on it. Like, nobody who's listening to this is going to know the Steiner Brothers
are. Certainly not us.
Yeah, no, we are not wrestleheads.
It pretty much, they're the wrestling equivalent. Like, if you both took a bunch of steroids and also went to the University of Michigan, you could easily be the Steiner Brothers.
Wow. Wow.
And you'd also probably have to grow your hair out a lot and or, you know, I can't stress enough the steroids.
I kind of love that. I don't know.
The Steiner. Yeah, you go to the Steiner Brothers for Halloween, honestly. It'll be funny.
So wait, so your Amazon order list could be like food, paper towels, like, you know, things that you need.
And then wrestling shit.
Yeah.
So what are the things that Amazon like recommends to you based off of this stuff? Like, is your algorithm all fucked up?
Yeah, I like to mess with algorithms, right? Like, I think everyone who has a social account, no, for real, like, I think everyone who has like a Spotify or an eBay or Amazon or even just your Twitter, like, delete your cookies. Because you're going to eventually be in a situation where you're in the same kind of, you see the same tweets. It's why I think a lot of people get like really angry at Twitter sometimes, because you're seeing the same 12 people and they're sharing the same unoriginal joke and they're sharing the same unoriginal memes. And it's like, how many times are we going to talk about $200 dates, folks?
Yeah.
Like, let's try something different. So,
well, wait, where did we fall on $200 dates? Like, have we figured out like if that's too much or not enough?
Jeff, we're in a recession right now.
Listen, I was always raised, it ain't cooking if you got it. And so I think that's one of those, I personally have not spent that much. Actually, I might have. I don't know.
Ernest, you're a married man right now.
Yeah, exactly. I said it in the past, like I said, I ain't about to have me out here.
Yo, I like the idea that Ernest is like now spiraling, just being like, wait, have I spent $200? Is that enough?
Well, by the way, on the cookies thing, on the recommendations and the algorithms thing, I have sat here. So we have Apple TV, and you know, we'll use the YouTube app and watch videos on there. And the YouTube recommendations lately have been so close to not things that we've been typing, or not things that we've like asked YouTube to find, but things that like Jeff and I have talked about. Like Jonah Hill like followed us on Instagram, and then he shows up as a YouTube recommendation. Fucking blows my mind. And now,
that's weird.
And I don't know if this is like the point where like I've been inside for too long, but I'm really starting to believe that like the computers are listening.
Yeah, I sort of want Eric to just unravel in front of our eyes. Like that would
be. Are you at the point where like you're putting duct tape on your cameras on your laptops yet?
No,
I should. I haven't. I should though,
because I look at that and I'm just like,
because the cameras are watching.
I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah, you don't care anymore. You're just like, look at it.
Oh no. I've never cared. I'm just like, what is it gonna see?
Right. Like who? Yeah. Yeah. So, Ernest, you've been inside for 2 weeks. And you've done these things to pick your spirit up. How is your mental overall? Because again, an Instagram post can only last for so long, or outfits can only like do so much. How are you doing on the whole?
I mean, like I have lost probably 6 gigs in the last 10 days. And so that has been, you know, set off the panic mode a little bit. But honest to God, this is gonna sound crazy. So hear me out though. I like reverted my brain back to recession brain. And as elder millennials, you both understand that it's like, that was the mentality of like, okay, well, I'm not in control of any of this, so I might as well make the best of it while I can.
Yeah.
And that, I'd be lying if I said there were days where I had tons of anxiety or, you know, even just like fear that stuff wasn't going to work out. But I think the key and consistent thing is you know, my dad always used to say, what got you here is what's going to get you to the next thing.
Yeah.
And so I've always kind of taken that as a mental guide to say, like, yo, this has been worse. It has, you know. And so you got to say to yourself, okay, it can only be better, but also you have to be in control of how you view the world, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I could easily just, like, tack it in and be like, yo, I'm done. And I'm not trying to be on some, like, positive, like, rev run in the tub at the end of Run House episode kind of stuff. But, like, I'm feeling in a position where, you know, you just got to be positive when you can. And obviously, yeah. like, feel your feelings, right? If you're feeling bummed out for a day, be bummed out. But, like, you also can be, you know, if you have the source of positivity within you, you can be that for other people. Like, you know, check on your friends, you know, make sure your people are doing good. That's been a huge help for me. Like, but also, like, genuinely talk to your friends. Like,
yeah.
Your loved ones and the people who make you happy and the people who surround you with joy. I think a lot of people, and this is just my kind of observation, I think this is the first time a lot of people have been alone with themselves in yeah. like a long time.
Yeah.
And like had to like process the stuff about themselves they don't like insecurities and all that stuff. And I know that that's probably tough for people, but I would strongly say, you know, rest on your friends, rest on the people who provide you that support. And if you don't have friends, rest on the people on the internet who make you smile. I don't know. Like,
yeah. You know what? Just, Jeff and I obviously like live together. We're brothers and we work together and not a lot of the realities of an everyday schedule have changed. You know, we can still rely on each other to make each other laugh, to play video games right. together, to do work together. And that has all felt good. You know, in changing the format of the show, that has made me personally feel good in terms of doing these reach outs and talking to other humans and knowing that we're not alone. But what yeah. has really made me feel good is to check in on those who are living alone, because I'm sure that is a tough scenario on any day of the week, you know? And so to see them on FaceTime, to hear their voice and to understand them has been very, you know, satisfying and fulfilling to making me feel better as well.
It's actually funny you mention that because, like, people call me corny because I care a lot, but, like, I have had a standing thing once a month for the last probably 3 years that is just, it says in my calendar, check in on people.
Mm.
And so this has been a consistent thing for me where I'm like, all right, let me check, because you never know, man, especially, like, you know, y'all were in the blog era, like, we've lost a lot of people, we have people who are suffering through some demons that are crazy, and so I think it behooves us, even if we're in a situation where we're part of the culture from like a, we're making jokes, we're making memes, we're going to parties, all that. Yep. I think the full aspect of being part of a community is you got to check in on people. You got to be there for folks when the party isn't happening or when they're going through some hardship. You know what I'm saying?
So absolutely.
Like, right. Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. So, okay. We've talked about Instagram. We've talked about your mental, but there is that other thing too, which is that television screen. What are you watching on Netflix these days? What are you watching on Hulu or YouTube or whatever that gets you by and has really, like, taken you, you know, by the collar and forced you to sit down?
So a couple of recommendations. I would definitely say the show Gamora on Netflix is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It's an Italian show.
Yep.
Watch that. If you like any sort of, you know, Narcos or Breaking Bad or any The Wire, it's not as good as The Wire, but it's definitely, like, really good. So watch Gamora. It's subtitled, so you don't have to, you know, heads up if you can't read. but, like, Gamora's crazy. I honestly have been kind of going back. Like, I started living single from the beginning.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, bro, that show was great.
We were talking to Jemele Hill, and she ran into somebody at the grocery store from Living Single, not like a major player, but like some right. guy. And she's like, I can't remember his name, but he had a flat top. And it was like, oh, all right.
Yeah. How great would that be, though? You were on like one sitcom like one time in the 90s, and then people recognize you for the rest of your life.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I would love that if I was recognized for anything.
Sure. Yeah. Also, I'm interested to see from y'all perspective, because I'm over here in Chicago.
Yep.
And it's Chicago. It's fine. The weather sucks. Like, New York, man. How's New York feeling right now?
It's weird. It's, I mean, like, well, we don't really go out during the day, and I don't really see anybody out anyway. But, like, you go out at night just to, like, go to the grocery store to, like, on off hours.
Yeah.
And it's spooky. It's, like, 3 a.m., but it's, like, you know, nine.
Yeah. I think the reality check comes from, you know, really reading the articles and seeing videos from the people on the front lines, the nurses, the doctors, the medical professionals. I think that's when it's like, and you, again, you watch CNN and you see the numbers tick up.
Yeah.
That's a reality check. I think there's, I'm personally trying to find that balance of like how much news intake I can honestly like handle.
Yeah.
And how much I have to just like turn screens off, focus on my work and my well-being and get through to the next day.
I think that there's a small comfort in knowing how bad it is out here.
Right.
That it's like, okay, you know, as long as I know what's going on out there, because I can't just ignore it completely. Right. I don't think that's productive.
Right.
But I think that if I can just like glance at it, understand that like the hospitals are overwhelmed, people are overwhelmed, the system is like sort of failing right now, and Trump is punishing New York for his red state votes, I guess,
right,
and like pettiness.
Yeah. Right.
But like to know that like if we stay inside and hopefully like wait this out long enough, I feel like some sort of not surrender. I feel like, you know, like this, an equilibrium.
A balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, too, like, as much as there is the negativity, and it's a lot and it's real, and it's like, you know, like, people need to stay home because that's your job. Like, all of that is true, right? But, but there is a joy and a sunshine that comes out of Instagram posts like yours and attitudes like we've spoken to people who just like have a good outlook for the day. And that is also helpful for a person like me who, you know, relies on that to get through. And so when Jeff was like, yo, let's call Ernest, he's doing this great thing, it made so much sense. And I'm so thankful that you're doing that, you and your wife, that more people are checking out for it. Again, Your Instagram hashtag is what?
Lift Your Spirit Week. One word.
Yes.
Lift Your Spirit Week.
And you're taking off next week, but you're back the following week.
Back the following week, yeah. I mean, hopefully we don't have to do this for much longer, but you know, it is what it is. The other thing I would say, you going back to the concept of like screens and how to like tone that down, a little piece of advice from my end. I don't check Twitter for the first hour I'm awake.
Yeah, that's...
Don't check Twitter for the first hour I'm awake. And I've actually turned that into productivity time because... So I write this newsletter called Office Hours. You should subscribe to it. It's great. But I've been doing for the last 7 days now, basically links, just like link dump. So like I get up in the morning, I'm looking at stuff that I've always wanted to read and never had the time to read. I'm finding all that stuff. And I'm just piling it into an email every single day. So it's like, hey, you need time to decompress, you know, read Office Hours. You need time to not look at your phone for a little bit. Here you go. But I think that's the kind of stuff where it's like you kind of have to distract yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I do want to just second and just say that Office Hours is great. I am a subscriber. I am a listener. And shouts to Ernest for doing that. Like, I think it's just a great service.
Absolutely. Well, Ernest, we love you. Send love to your wife as well. Thank you for what you're doing. Stay safe. Stay indoors. Stay creative. And stay off Twitter in the morning. That sounds like a great idea.
I'm telling you. All right, everybody, keep your heads up, man. It's going to be okay.
All right, Ernest, take care. We appreciate you.
Peace.
Peace. Let's call Foster.
Yo.
Foster, what's happening?
Eric Rosenthal, Jeffrey Rosenthal.
Hey, listen, I think that we've all been inside for 2 weeks or something. I don't know. Time is just gone to the trash can at this point. But
The garbage.
But are you particularly proud of anything that you've done this entire time? Like, what makes you impressed at yourself?
As far as I can tell, I have not contracted it. Ergo, I have not infected anybody, and I've been really good about social isolating.
What a good human. Yeah.
Despite my desperate need to be around people and my latent existential loneliness that is every day. So, you know, I think I'm doing all right.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, I've learned to play piano or I've become a better cook or I've, you know.
No, Foster already learned how to play piano. Does it every day on Instagram.
Learned is a stretch. I'm in the room with the piano right now. I can tickle the keys and some flaws.
You sound like a piano player, you know?
Thank you.
So
that's what I've been working on, actually, is sounding like a piano player without actually playing the piano.
Well, listen, Foster, you're somebody who has been covering this for quite a long time.
Like a month and a half. I think I wrote my first story about it on February 13th, but we were editing stories about it before.
What brought it to your attention, and what sort of scared you the most at first?
What brought it to my attention? I mean, I'll tell you, the first story I wrote on it was about when the CDC sent out testing kits, and they sent out 200 testing kits to 50 states, which didn't seem like a lot, even though they could conduct more tests than that. I'm forgetting each kit can conduct like maybe 100 tests or something. Those numbers are going to be wrong. But either way, they sent out 200 kits to the 50 states, and like half the kits were broken. And that was on February 13th. And that, as far as I could tell from the Chinese CDC numbers, would have been like using a not even a trash bag, using like a paper bag to protect you from an oncoming hurricane. So that's what got my attention. And I don't, when did I get freaked out? I'm trying to think when I got, at no point have I been like freaked out or panicked, but that was when I started taking it really seriously. And then maybe it was, I guess, seeing the way Trump responded to it and like kind of being in denial. That's when I started getting freaked out, because you look at what happened in China where they denied it, and then like the doctor who was the whistleblower died from it. He was a 32-year-old healthy man, and he died from it. That actually reading that story was what freaked me out. So, you know, trying to hold it down soon.
Yeah. What was the first like thing that you bought in terms of like groceries or something that would get you through what you imagined would be like a hard time?
I took my Juul and I just whipped it in the trash.
Oh.
And I bought a big box of Nicorette.
Oh. Well, all right. I mean,
yeah,
listen.
I can't tell. Wait, is that better?
I think it's better.
It feels better.
Yeah. 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 Literally anything is better than putting anything in your lungs other than oxygen. So, yes, it's better.
Is there anything that has kept you in a peaceful state of mind through all this?
Knowing that you guys are locked in a room.
It's not watching Cuomo's press conferences. It's not
watching Tiger King on Netflix.
Yeah, none of this gets you by.
I will say what gets me by is the Andrew Cuomo, Chris Cuomo shit show when the two brothers go on CNN together. And like right now, the guy leading the most important pandemic response in the world, still when he's on national television, still cannot resist the temptation to tell his brother, a newscaster on CNN, that mom loves him more than his brother.
It's very important.
Like that brings me some comfort, because even through all the bullshit, like life still goes on in some respect.
That is true.
Well, of all your dad's dogs, how many would you say love you more than your brother?
None of them, because my brother is always over there giving them cheese. That's not a euphemism. He literally feeds them cheese.
First of all,
can dogs have cheese?
I mean, dogs in Las Vegas can. Do with that what you will. I would not advise giving a dog anywhere else. And by anywhere else, I mean outside of my parents' house, cheese. So, honestly, animal services, go to the Kamer house. I'm worried.
So, Foster, you're somebody, when I think of New York, I think of you. And that's kind of interesting, because
that is one of the most flattering things anybody's ever said to me.
Well, you're not a native New Yorker. You're actually from Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And
yeah. Went to school in Utah.
What can you think?
Briefly.
I mean, went to school is also a stretch.
Yeah.
What do you think of...
I hit the bong in Utah.
What do you think of the Las Vegas Strip shutting down? What do you think of like that whole economy down there trying to come back eventually?
I mean, when we saw this in 2008, the first money that people stop spending when money is short, as it was then and will be now, is gambling money, which, thank God, because nobody should be gambling in a recession. But unfortunately, that hits Vegas particularly hard. Now, one of the first things people like to do in good times, stupidly but wonderfully for my hometown, is gamble money. So, you know, it's going to get hit. It's going to get hit hard, but also, like, it's a good thing that they shut down the economy there. I think we should be shutting down pretty much the entire country in order to fight this thing. So I have no problem with it. I know everyone back home is suffering, and I feel terrible for them, but they are part of a national fight against this thing, as we all are.
Well, what do you think about the bailout that's coming, the $2 trillion bailout? Like, you know, are there any protections for, is there anything that you find encouraging about it? Or is it all bad?
Well, I'm particularly upset about the provision they carved out for podcasters on the Upper West Side. Aside from that, no tax breaks for those scumbags.
That's
right. Aside from that, look, it's not enough. It's not enough for New York. It's not enough for everyday Americans, who especially, you know, people who are at a severe economic disadvantage, were not provided for enough. They're not provided enough for enough already. They're certainly not now. And we could afford to do more for them. We could afford to do more for our restaurants and our bars and our small businesses. You know, the economists, they're classes of skilled and unskilled laborers, and I hate those terms because all laborers are ostensibly skilled, but you know, for the quote-unquote unskilled laborers, like, they're not provided for enough. Our bartenders, our waiters, our people who seem to think, people who have jobs that other people seem to think are interchangeable and unimportant, are very important, and they're crucial to our economy. So that was disappointing. And also, quite frankly, like, we need more medical equipment. We need more supplies. You know, the Defense Production Act needs to be invoked, like, yesterday, far before yesterday.
Foster, when you go to sleep at night, do you dream of Jared Kushner going to jail? Do you dream of Donald Trump going to jail? Or do you dream of the kids who were in South Florida partying it up on spring break going to jail?
Well, even before you answer that question, I do want to say Brady Sluder,
yes,
whose name does sound made up,
yeah,
and was one of the kids, he has apologized.
He said that, really?
Yeah, he said that he didn't realize the power of his voice, and that he didn't understand that he didn't understand the severity of the coronavirus at the time, so he has apologized. So I hope that Brady Sluder, the 22-year-old who was partying down in South Florida,
he doesn't understand the power of his voice. Does that mean that he's going to start a podcast?
We should have him on.
Wait, so do your listeners know that I used to work for Jared Kushner when he owned the New York Observer? Because we should get that on the table.
They do now.
They know they know that you and Jared are, like, good friends.
You go way back.
Yeah, that you, like, vacation at his, you know, his house in
Aspen.
You
go to the same barber, right?
Yeah.
Listeners, Jared and I do not go way back. I despise him. He happened to own the newspaper that I worked at, the New York Observer, where, fun fact, Sex and the City, the column started. But Jared probably does not like me when I wrote a little bit of a tell-all about my time at the Observer and a story that he tried to force me to write, which I would not write. Anyway, I do not like Jared. Now, as for the kids, I think you can forgive them. Kids make mistakes. Free Schmurda. So take them off the table. Now, was the question who I'd like to see in prison or die? If it's in prison, Jared Kushner. May he live there long and terribly.
Yeah. You know.
And then you can figure out the rest of it.
Yeah. The kids?
The what?
Nothing.
Jared Kushner is what we thought he was, right? You know, we knew that he was. Yeah, he was a fraud. He got into college thanks to his family's connections. He has never achieved anything. He has ruined businesses time and again, just like his father-in-law. Are you at all surprised that...
Oh, I thought the question was going to be, can you relate?
Are you at all surprised that he and Trump, from a, I don't know, an everyday basis, they're still close and they're still leaning on each other?
Well, I think we saw a report come out a week ago that said that Trump was really upset with Jared. And he was actually, like, pretty pissed off with the way Jared had kind of understated the response. So I hope they're on the outs, because I would love to see that relationship explode. I mean,
but isn't that every single thing that happens? There's always a rumor of just, like, oh, Trump is mad at somebody, and then they're about to get kicked out, and that never happens.
I mean, John Kelly.
I mean, yes, he's had a lot of turnover, but there's also been people who, like, John Kelly, that relationship, there was a lot of things that led up to
Do you think that all
John Kelly, Jeff Sessions, John Bolton, like, they've kicked a lot. They've had more turnover than, I don't know. What's something that has a lot of turnover?
Like, the Cleveland Browns. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
music acts that Drake puts out a single with and then we never hear from again.
Oh, my God. But even then, like, but his relationship with Jeff Sessions, there was always the rumor that he was
Drake's relationship with Jeff Sessions?
Drake's relationship with Jeff Sessions is crazy.
No, do you think...
Crazy.
Do you think that all of these underlings think that, like, when they meet Trump, they're the ones who are going to be able to change him?
That's a deep sigh.
Yeah. No. I mean, if you look at Anthony Fauci, you're looking at a guy who every time he's up there, which is why they stopped putting him on the press conferences, he literally cannot stop from holding his head in his hand. And he is the one guy in America, every single ounce of common sense would have every single person with common sense listening to. And Fauci, I think, knew from the get-go that he wasn't going to be able to stop Trump from saying dumb shit. So I can't imagine anybody goes in that situation and thinks, I'm going to be able to stop this guy from being him. What I think they go in that situation saying is, maybe I can mitigate some of the damage.
That seems like an impossibility.
Well, we don't know. Like, that's the thing. We don't know what good deeds have been done in the shadows because all we see is the shit show up front.
Wait, when does the Anonymous book come out? Is that still happening?
The person who wrote the Times op-ed?
Yeah. And then they wrote a full book, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was supposed to come out. So do we believe that there really are shadow figures who are working?
Deep state?
Yeah. Well,
No. We can't use the term deep state.
I know.
Because all the term deep state implies, like, deep state is a Trump term. But what it means is that there are people in the government working with opposing views to yours, but that doesn't mean they're working against the American people or against the government. It means they're working for the American people. Like, there should be a plurality in government of opposing views. The Trump government is such a strongman government that those views aren't allowed to present themselves in public. So, you know, it's an unfortunate reality that they kind of can't be as pronounced and as open and as vocal as they would like to be. And again, going back to Fauci, you're even seeing that where he is contradicting the president and then being asked if he's contradicting the president. And he has to say no, because he knows if he says yes, then Trump is going to move him to the sidelines, which he already has. He's moved him in the shadows.
Right. So he has obviously misstated and lied and just made up shit on a daily basis in front of the press pool and on every major network. Now some of the networks are pulling back, and radio stations, and they're not going to show that. How long, how many days, what's the over-under until Trump stops doing press conferences in that room?
I mean, I would set the over-under at, you know, 60 days. I would take the over. Like, I think that he will keep doing these conferences as long as he somehow feels like he is being praised or doing a good job. Here's, like, the approval numbers for Trump came out today that says that a lot of Americans actually do, in fact, believe he's doing a good job handling this crisis, which is crazy, right? We all think that's crazy.
Yes.
We live in New York.
Yeah.
That's crazy to us. Well, the reality is, this thing hasn't started. Coronavirus hasn't started to affect
red
the majority
states?
Of the country.
Yeah,
red states and the majority of the country the way it has here. And once it does, that reality will set in. People will know people, or they'll know people who know people who have fallen ill with this, and seriously ill. Which is to say nothing of the fact that, like, the case of mild symptoms don't just come with mild symptoms, but the anxiety and the stress that you might be seriously ill. And that anxiety and stress is exacerbated when you see your local hospitals and your local healthcare system running low on supplies.
Yeah.
And that's when they will begin to turn on Trump. So when that starts to happen, I think that's when he's going to recede into the shadows and let the medical experts take the heat of all the questions.
Why do you think that Biden hasn't stepped up more during like this time?
Well, I think it's difficult to step up more, right? It's not like you can be out campaigning. It's not like you can be holding rallies. You can, you know, sit in front of your laptop when you're supposed to be doing work and instead talking to the Rosenthal brothers. Like, that is the full extent of what Joe Biden can be doing right now. So, you know, I
by the way, Biden's coming on Tuesday, by the way, so look out for that episode.
Ha, got you, Biden. You're coming on after me.
Do you think that you're prepared for, you personally are prepared for the next 2 months mentally?
Well, I've got you guys on speed dial.
Yeah.
But what does that do?
Because I'm not leaving my apartment. So, like, you know, if you're in a real emergency.
Yeah, but there's the
if I'm in a real emergency, you know what I'm going to do?
Tell me.
Yeah, I'm going to call you up and say, Jeff, I'm in an emergency.
And I'll say, all right.
Yeah. So I got a plan. See, I'm glad we worked that out in real time. That's good.
So, okay. So the next 2 months means working from home. It means cooking from home. It means entertaining yourself at home. Are you ready for the challenge?
I was born ready.
Well, like, what movies are you watching?
I think you guys know. I am plenty of entertainment. You know, I've got, what do I have here? I've got a bunch of books I haven't read and I'm probably still not going to. I've got some pasta and beans and ramen I'm going to cook. I've got this Frank Ocean zine I never read. I'm still not going to read it. And I've got a PlayStation 4, which likely will be where most of my time is spent writing the next King Lear.
Oh, there you go. Well, we will absolutely look forward to that, Foster. We love you. Stay safe. Stay indoors. And stay hilarious, all right?
Boys, I love you. Stay safe.
All right.
Wash your hands.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
Shout out to Foster Kamer. Shout out to Ernest Wilkins. And shout out to our friend Currency. Jeff, we'll be back again tomorrow.
We are back every day until this thing ends. And maybe even after that. I was thinking about it today. I was like, maybe we just keep doing this forever. I don't know.
Maybe. And here's where people can get involved. Patreon.com/itsthereal. Shout out to all you guys out there who are part of this journey. And we appreciate you for rocking with us in good times and in bad. Now more than ever. Jeff, as always, not for real, for real.
Sure.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.